Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Good, I love to hear it. Have you asked somebody else that yet this morning? I'd love for you to get up and introduce yourself to somebody or say hi to somebody that you haven't seen in a while. God just brings us joy when we get to gather together and we get to have conversations and just enjoy the blessing of being in the presence of one another. Amen? And it's so great to have you guys. My name is Rachel Harris. I have the privilege of being your host here at the 98 Campus Service, where everybody's welcome just as you are, no matter how you feel today, no matter what kind of day you might be having. Just know you are in the house of God. He accepts you as you are. This is what we call our judgment-free zone. Or she wants to come up here. You can come up here, sweetheart. Look. Oh, she loves good. Oh, it's not me. It's you.
Yes, I am.
All right, fine. All right, so it is just great to have you guys with us. And if it's your first time with us, if you see inside of your worship folder, you're going to find this connection card. We'd love to hear from you. Anything you feel comfortable sharing? Your name, where you're from? Are you here visiting with family? Are you local? And if you have any special prayer requests, you can write those on the backside at the bottom. If you attend regularly, your name at the top is fine, unless any of your info has changed or there's something that you want to share with us. Do we believe you're a gift from God? He brought you here with us today. Yes. Thank you, Serena. And he brought you here today to be with us for a reason. We just want to celebrate that reason with you. And we also want you to worship in the way that is best for you. So in our service today, just feel comfortable to stay seated if that's what you'd like. You're welcome to stand with us as we worship. Certainly raise your hands to praise the Lord. Once again, be comfortable and be you. So we are currently in our Gifts of Christmas sermon series, and our senior pastor, Jason Sheeler, is going to be sharing today's message on the gift of joy. Before we get started, let's pray over today's message as we invite God into our service. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings that await us each and every day. All good things are from you, Lord. We wake up surrounded by your beautiful creations and your omnipresent love. And we can only receive a life of joy by the miraculous gift of personally knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need only ask you, we need only seek you with all of our hearts to find this kind of joy and this peace. And we pray that our hearts are just going to overflow with this gratitude for your faithfulness to us. And on days when we let the world get to us, recharge our spirits with the knowledge that we're receiving an everlasting joy. And just inspire us, Lord, to share this great news with all those who need to know you. In the loving name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we all pray. Amen. Let's rise, and Sam is going to lead us in worship.
God who heals, we sing to the God who saves, we sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross and he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy, house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy, house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. No, we shout out your praise. There's joy, house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, and now we're royalty. And we were the prisoners, and now we're running free. And we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Sing that again.
And we were the beggars, and now we're royalty. And we were the prisoners, but now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
There's joy.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy, house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy, house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Amen. Let's give him a hand this morning. God, we thank you that despite our situations, Lord, we can always find joy when we lean into you, Lord.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory. Oh, we give. appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Lord, we adore you. And you're worthy to be adored, not just because you were probably a cute baby, but for what you've done. You've done for us. And so, Lord, we lean into your word today, and we ask you to restore the joy of your salvation. Restore that joy once again. Let us come into that living waters of your Spirit that is alive, and there's life, and there's joy. God, bring that in our hearts and minds today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It seems around the holidays, Christy would come to me and she would say, "Why aren't you happy? Why aren't you smiling? You should be joyful." I mean, on one Christmas, she's sitting there going, "Man, you need to be happy. It's a joyful time of the year." And she's going on and on. "It's time to decorate this." And I'm just like, "Bah, humbug." I just, no. And she goes, she just kept giving me reasons to be joyful. And I was like, "Bah, humbug." And I came to a point, I just said, "Look, when it comes to holidays, it's joyful for you, but it's more work for me." I like how everybody's quiet about that, but after the service, everybody talks to me. "Oh, yeah, that's true." And I was like, you know, she goes, "You can be such a joy killer. You know that? You're like, take the air out of the balloon." And I was like, "Yeah. Have you been there?" Because, like, I get that, like, at holidays and stuff like this, I have this, like, idea a lot of times, like, I'll be joyful when this is done, right? I'll be joyful when it's all over. Then I'll have joy. Like, you know, when, like, the day after Christmas is a very joyful day, right? I mean, the day after Thanksgiving is even another joyful. I mean, like, it's just when it's done. And it kind of had this thing, like when you're going through life and it gets stressful, right? And like you got projects, you got things to do. Like, and you're like, "I'll be joyful when this is all over. When I'll be joyful when I get to vacation." Not preparing for it, but I'll be joyful then. And then it's like you get there, like, "I'll be joyful once we settle in." And it just moves, right? Or like, "I'll be joyful when the kids get out of diapers." Praise the Lord, right? But there's more. And, "Oh, all right, I'll be more joyful when they're out of the house. I'll be joyful when we hit this level of success. I'll be joyful when we retire." And I think if you ever suffer from that destination disease of joy or circumstantial joy, I want you to kind of realize that, maybe discovering today, is that you're deciding not to have joy. For joy is there available to you, every place, every situation, every circumstance, all the time. It's just that we don't take hold of it. We don't use the gift. And so today, as we've been talking about the gifts of Christmas, we've been looking at the gifts of hope, the gifts of peace, and today we talk about the gift of joy. And so we go back to the story to read once again this gift of joy of Luke 2, 8 to 20. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those whom he's pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told him. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. A, in your notes, if you want to follow along, A is the joy is a gift from God for all people. It is a divine gift from God, joy. Again, verse 10, the angels have said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Great joy. Jesus comes into the world, and it's a time of joy. It's a time of celebration. A heaven announcing, heaven is celebrating with the angels as Jesus is born. And the joy is, yes, there is a baby. Babies, that's a joyful thing, a gift of life. But the joy was not that just Jesus was a baby. It was that God was with us, and God had promised, and God has kept his word, and this one who was born is bringing salvation. For he is Christ the Lord. That's the good news that brings great joy. And that good news has been accomplished, and we know that for us, the Holy Spirit brings us joy. It's through the Holy Spirit that we get that joy. Paul reminds us in Galatians, right? 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the number two is joy, that we have this joy. And this gift, as we're reminded again in the Christmas story, that is for all people. It's not dependent if you're naughty or nice, what's your race, what's your income, your circumstances. For this news was given to the poor shepherds, the outcast workers that are there in an ordinary night, just doing their thing. And God comes to them and reveals and gives, announces great joy. Such joy that they abandon everything and go. However, Christmas is not always joyful. It's not always happy or merry, all right? Life still happens. I mean, we had a family friend who passed away this week, and the funeral's Tuesday. I mean, illnesses happen. Death happens. There's loss. There's grief. There's loneliness. There's still conflict and fear and worry and disappointments. So how do we deal with that? The world says, well, it's a holiday. It's Christmas. You have to celebrate. So go do something that makes you happy. Shop, drink, take a trip, have a holiday fling. And when you're done with all your fun, things will be better, won't they? No, they won't. They'll be worse. And God comes to wherever we are in our life and to our darkest pits with this great joy, a light of hope that gives peace. It's abundant joy, never ending. Joy is not something that we just rally ourselves up to, that we had some emotional thing and emotionalism that we then just put a stamp on and call it Jesus. It's a gift. It's a gift of faith that is deeply intertwined with God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. And in that intertwining of this gift, there is peace, there is hope. There is a positive outlook on life that brings joy. There is a deep-seated well-being in our soul that even in hardships and difficulties, we still have this joy. How can we have such joy? B is that we have joy from our salvation that's been secured in Christ. Mary and the shepherds got this. They heard the good news. The sign was there, the baby in a cloth. The shepherds brought the words from the angels and told them everything of the great joy, the great announcement that this is Christ the Lord, to confirm that truth that they know. And so what did they do? Verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God joyously all they had heard and seen as had been told to them. They respond in joy. Maybe possibly one we could say is a more introverted response of capturing this joy, holding on to this joy, not to forget it. And the extrovert that bubbles over in joy and goes upon joyfully about their duties. And why were they so joyful? Because it was a beautiful starry night by a fire with hot chocolate and marshmallows singing Christmas carols? No. It was a hard night. But it was a night where Christ was born and God did what God promised to do. God promised a son, and he did. And the son is Christ the Lord. He's the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world, their sins, who's come to save them, the one they've been waiting for, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so there's joy that God has kept his promises. God is a God who's faithful to his word. And they have seen it and experienced it. The joy to salvation is so much more for us. Because we know what that child did. We know where he went. He went to a cross. He took upon our sins. He was the Lamb of God that was slain for us, who came to take away those sins and sacrifice his life that we could have life. God kept his word. And he gives us the gift of faith and the spirit that gives us joy. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so no one can boast." So Christmas joy is that reminder that I am so loved by God that my salvation has been taken care of by Christ. He paid the price. He took on the punishment, not I. And that I have this certainty, this security because of Christ. And in that, doesn't waver, doesn't wax, doesn't change. It stays the same. See, God loves me the same today, or regardless, loves me if I'm feeding the homeless or I'm in an affair. He still loves me the same. God is not a God whose love is conditioned based on our morality. If we played a morality game with God and trying to please and earn his love and have his favor, that's a religion. That is not faith. That is not a God of love and grace and mercy. The joy we have is because it's not manufactured out of some pleasure or works of ourselves that we take pride in, but it's found again and again in the certainty of Christ, that he is truly the Son of God that was born for us, who took our place and has secured our salvation. In fact, the Hebrews writer says he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. For we cannot, but he does. And that means despite everything that maybe people hate about you or don't like, or maybe everything about yourself you don't love and despise, God still loves you. The same love that moved him to leave heaven and to take on flesh of his own creation and to take on suffering and go to a cross. That same love, when they're sitting there after he's been bloody, he's been beaten, he's near death, and he's laying on a cross, and they're nailing his feet and his arms, his hands to the cross. And what does he say? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." That same love he says to you, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." There's grace. This is what Isaiah says on 12:3. "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation," the wells of a river flowing of joy, an unending a source of joy that comes to quench our weary spirits, our spirits that are discouraged and broken, perhaps depressed. Jesus says, "Look at your salvation. It's in Christ. Drink from that well. Drink of it today. Drink of it every day. Drink of this Christmas living water, a salvation that gives joy, unending joy." Not only that, see, we have joy in God's presence and in following him. John 15:11 Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." What is Jesus talking about that would make our joy so full? What is it? In this time that Jesus is talking about is the time of the Lord's Supper. And it's not just the Lord's Supper, but all the teachings around it. And so when he's talking about, hey, you want your joy to be full, well, remember what Jesus taught when he did the washing of the feet, of how you've been cleansed by his righteousness. Your whole body has been forgiven. He talks about believing in him and to believe in the Father. You see him, you see the Father, and that he goes to prepare a room for you. And if it was not so, he would come back and take us to that room. And he says, look, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And he promises them that, know what, I will be gone. But when I'm gone, I will give you the Holy Spirit. You'll have the God with you. And you can do much more than I ever did. But he says, remain in me. Remain in me, the vine and branches, and you can bear much fruit. And he says, keep my commands, and most of all, love others as I have loved you. Jesus, in the final words and final teaching before he leaves, and what is he doing? He's inviting them, calling them to remain in him. There won't be a physical presence with them anymore, but he will be there in spirit. And they could walk in his spirit. And they could delight in his spirit. And they can enjoy the gift of his presence. For where the joy of God's presence is, there is a light that's like a lighthouse, that the joy of God will guide us safely through the storms of life. When we remain in the joy of God's presence, it's like this unbreakable melody of the symphony of our spiritual journey of God. It has crescendos, it has decrescendos, it has dynamics, it has pauses, all those things, but yet it can be joyful in this great sympathy that God is this masterpiece that God is working through our life. It's in God's presence, a refreshing rain that nurtures the soul, that parched in landscape. The joy of God's presence, like an anchor holding steady amidst the turbulent seas of doubt. The joy of God's presence, a canvas where joy paints vibrant hues of hope and peace. The joy of God's presence, the solid rock in which we cling, that we hold on to and stand upon. It's the joy in God's presence, like sunshine piercing through our dark clouds. And the joy in God's presence, like a silent flower, a resilient flower that blooms in the harshest desert. God's joy gives us incredible strength and hope and fortitude for our future. The psalmist writes, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." I mean, God is willing, God is able, God desires to give us joy and us to be full with joy. And maybe that hymn could be written, oh, what joy we often forfeit because we do not turn to the Lord who is here with joy. Christians remind us that God is with us. It's Emmanuel. This is a God, as John says, who comes to dwell among us. And Paul goes on to say, now the Spirit of Christ is not just among us, but in us. His presence is there. And where the Lord's presence is, So is joy. And it's here for you. Letter D, I'm going to ask you a question. Was God joyful at Christmas? Would you say? Yes? That's an out loud question. Yeah, okay. How about Good Friday? No? I think we were always taught God was angry at Good Friday. I'm not sure. In fact, I really don't think so. If God was totally angry, he could have smited the whole nation. He didn't. And while I think it was difficult and hard, I think there was joy. Because what is that God's heart? God came to bring joy, great news for all people. Jesus came to save the world. This is God's joy. And what do we know? Jesus says in Luke 15, he says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And for one to repent and receive grace, there have to be grace. There had to be God who revealed himself and showed his love and grace and mercy that there is a place of forgiveness. And that only could be accomplished through his son, Jesus Christ. So even in the hardships of Good Friday, I believe there is joy. Because God wants to save all, and he wants to save each and every one. I mean, this is the prodigal father. He's a foolish father. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? You could call it the prodigal father, because prodigal means foolish. And he's foolish the way he lavishes his love on his son. For his son tells his father, your good is dead for me. I don't want you in my life. I don't want to be under your rules, under your house, work with you. Give me my money that I deserve now. You're dead to me. I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to have my fun. And he went off and he lived his fun in reckless living and ended up with the pigs. And what did he do? He repented. He turned. And he comes home to the father, to his house, and he has this whole speech planned out to confess and apologize. And before he could do anything, the father runs. He picks up his robe and runs. That is not what a father does in that culture. That's unheard of, especially to a son who has rebelled. But he does. He comes out running. Why? He's filled with joy. The joy, the one that was lost is found. He has a huge celebration. There's a big party for all. He has joy and knows to repent. He had joy in giving his son so others could come and be part of his kingdom. It was a joy for him because God loves everyone and cares for each personally. I mean, that's what's so amazing about the gospel. Jesus comes to save the whole world, but yet what does Jesus do? Jesus has all these, yes, he has big events, and there's mass miracles and feedings, but teachings, but yet Jesus has all these one-on-one encounters in the gospel where it's personal, where it's one person who's being healed and one who was lame and now can walk, and, you know, these encounters from the woman at the well or to the withered man with the withered hand to the lame person to the one who couldn't hear, these one-on-ones. Because Christmas is a reminder, yes, God loves the world, but he loves you. And he knows every part of you and cares about you. I mean, it's what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper, this great gift of salvation. That's for everyone. And yet Jesus comes and says, look, this is my body, it's my blood, and it's given and shed for you, personal you. He's not Southern, it's not you all, it's you. And it's personal. Because God loves to be with you, to dwell with you, to give you joy. Jesus sent out the 72 disciples. He sent them out with the gospel, and they came back, and they joyfully reported, Luke records. And they said, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Jesus said, yes. And I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Look, there is joy in results in ministry. There is joy in that. But Jesus quickly reminded him, now, that's not where you get your source of joy. Your source of joy, your source of your well-being, your strength, your source of the great joy is in your name, is written in the book of life. It's in your salvation, because this is the joy of the Father, that you are saved with him and that you will be with him for eternity. The joy is that we are a child of God first and foremost. Because after all, we all know this. Results and circumstances change, don't they? They always don't stay great. In fact, why he gives us this encouragement, letter E, we can have joy even in trials. You know the passage in James. You probably heard it before. I didn't put the whole thing, but it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Like, you got this faith, this confidence, this attitude in all circumstances that holds you in up in it. I had a conversation this week with a person who's going through cancer. And they were struggling because they just don't want to pray anymore. And I go, okay. And I said, do you know why? Have you thought about why you don't want to pray anymore? And they go, no, I don't know why. And I said, let me kind of give you some reasons why there's times I don't want to pray. See if it helps. And I said, you know, there's times I don't want to pray because I'm mad at God. So are you mad at God you have cancer? She said, nope. Said, because I get mad, it's kind of passive aggressive, and I go pout. That's what I call it. Not praying is pouting. He goes, no. Or I say, well, maybe there's, you know, I found there's times where instead of talking, I just need to sit and listen and receive. Like, praying is just receiving, it's listening. That's the other side of prayer. Prayer is a conversation. And she goes, no, I don't, that might be it. And I said, and I think there's a third. It's when you're fully surrendered to God and His will, and you just have joy in whatever it's going to be. Whatever it will be. I mean, that was Jesus, wasn't it? When Jesus wrestled with His fate of the cross in the garden, after that, He was done wrestling. He had joy. He had joy in the hardships and the persecutions. The Bible says He was silent like a lamb going to slaughter. Why? Because He was in the joy. He was at His place of complete surrender. This is the will. And I'm good with it. It's God's will. A third century man was anticipating death, and he penned these last words to a friend. He says, it's a bad world, and it's an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet, holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found joy, which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them. Masters of the souls. To allow the presence, the salvation, the Lord to be the Lord of their soul, that they have joy. Peter suffered several times. We see it recorded in Acts where he was sharing the gospel and being beaten and being imprisoned, and he was told not to speak anymore. And Peter walks away rejoicing that he's being beaten, he's been persecuted, because he's living a life that's like Christ. And then you find out later in his life, he's writing persecuted Christians that are being persecuted by Nero. And he says to them in his letter, he says, but rejoice in as much as you are participating in the sufferings of Christ. And these were horrible, very graphic sufferings that they were going through. And yet Peter says, rejoice. And at some point you kind of go, okay, I can maybe understand that. But that's really hard to say when life is going difficult. You're going to lose a loved one at any moment because of the persecution. And it's going to be through a torturous way, not through a quick way. And you see all that pain and suffering, yet Peter's saying rejoice. You might want to say, Peter, I think you might be a little sick. How can that really be? I mean, I guess we could say, well, there's this, I'm following the footsteps of Christ, and we could have some joy in that, or we're doing what's right, that we take some joy in it, but it's kind of connected to pride, and it's more of ourselves than it is of God. So how can there be joy in that moment? And I struggle with this concept, and I think it really hit me. I learned it. What I'm going to give you is an impossible answer. When I planted our first church, and we were planting a church, we just had a really terrible season. It was just hard. It was discouraging. I was drained. And I was reading through the Gospels, and I came to the Sermon on the Mount, and I read that verse, blessed is he, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And, You know, I really could resonate with that poor in spirit part. But I wasn't like, what does he mean, the kingdom of heaven? What does that really mean? And the Message translation writes it this way. It says, you are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more God and his rule. How can you have joy in suffering? Because suffering strips us of us and leaves us with nothing but Jesus. And when you have Jesus at the end of your rope, you still have joy. So that's why people in the world who have, you know, can have all the money, can have all the things, the toys, everything else you think of, and yet they're so unhappy. Because the things of this world will let you down. They will break and you'll get bored with. They'll hurt you. But yet, this ironic thing, even in suffering, can bring us to a place of joy. Because what happens in that place where we are under that pain and suffering is we finally say no to ourselves, our own pleasures that we think that bring us joy. We finally say no to the world and what the world offers, and we say yes to what Jesus offers and his joy. And what else we know about joy is eternal, EF, eternal joy awaits believers. Eternal joy awaits believers. You happy yet? He's got to get there. He's got to get all out. Get the nitrous, man. All right? But eternal joy awaits believers. So I was talking to this lady who's got cancer, and in a conversation she said, people think I'm weird. Like, I'm okay if I die. I'm really okay. If this is the end, I'm okay. And she's still rather young. And she goes, everybody thinks I'm weird, and everybody's kind of saying, stop saying that, stop believing that. And she just said, well, you know, if we really believe heaven is such a great place, you know, if that's, that's where I'm going because of Jesus. You know, I'm not saying I'm trying to have a death wish, but I'm not sitting here saying I'm going to be sad because I'm going to go to heaven. Because it's such a great place. She goes, is that okay? And I'm like, absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you, I love grandkids and following them, watching them, and I would love to marry them. I would think that would be a great, neat honor in the future and to be there at all those different life stages and whatever else Chris and I get to do in this world. Those are all wonderful things. There's nothing bad about that. But if I'm in heaven, I'm not missing that. They're going to miss me, but I'm not going to miss it. Because heaven is a place of incredible joy. Right? Revelations tells us, right? He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Heaven is a place where there's always joy. What is Jesus said to us in Matthew 25, 21? He says, look, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the place of unending, unlimited, infinite joy. Look, the Bible says that God created the whales and the dolphins out of joy. Joy for us. And we have food we enjoy. We have relationships with joy. We have holidays with joy. We got a lot of things that we can have joy. But they're not the real joy. They're a foretaste of the great joy that's ahead of us that is beyond our grasp so much. And the problem is, as C.S. Lewis says, that we cannot imagine the great joy that God has for us and has for us even now, that we end up, as he says, as ignorant children, we make mud pies in the slum when God is offering a luxury cruise. But we cannot imagine the offer, so we don't go. Because it's so far easier to be pleased by what we see right here. What a shame that we miss out on the joy through this life because we're just looking at what we see when heaven's joy is here now for us. Paul writes, our memory verse, Ephesians 4:4, let's read together. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There was a conference at a Presbyterian church in Omaha, and people were given a helium balloon. I really wanted to do this, but we didn't have time. and balloons and told to release them at some point in the service when they felt like expressing a joy in their hearts. And since they were Presbyterian, they weren't free to say hallelujah or praise the Lord. So all through the service, they were releasing balloons that were going up as symbols of their joy. When the service was over, though, there was one-third of the balloons that was still in the people's hands. I don't know where you are in your life today, where you come into this room, what troubles, challenges, or good things are going on. But I want you to know today, joy is there. Jesus' joy is here, available for you. And it's in you for those who believe. So let go of the balloons. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. Does anybody know the song that goes with this verse? I saw two hands sheepishly go up. Well, I don't know. Let's try. Let me see if I can teach it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Okay, a little faster. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Faster. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Okay, now you're getting it. See, now you're smiling. It took that long to get you to smile. Look to your neighbor, say rejoice. Amen. Lord, let us pray. God, we thank you for the great joy you have in the Lord, and we can rejoice always in all circumstances, all locations, all times, and all places, because you are there, and our salvation is secure in you. Lord, have your spirit just call us to it, turn us to it. Let us not slip into our dark places, but to intervene like you did in those shepherds. Bring the light of joy and hope and peace of your salvation to us. May we have joy in it once again. And so as your children, we have this privilege and joy to be able to cry out to you, and we do in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Choosing joy when we're in the muck of our trials, it doesn't mean that we're going to feel happy about it, right? But when we learn to tap into that joy, no matter what's going on around us, it offers us hope and a purpose. And we can be confident that God will use our trials to mature us and complete our faith. Just like tapping into the joy of giving to others and seeing the blessings that God gives us from it. Inside of your worship folder, you have an offering envelope. If you'd like to give today, you can place your offering in here. There are several ways to give outlined in your folder, including our text to give number and also at hopeonthebeach.com if you'd like to give online so you can choose the best way. But our Father, He promises blessings that will overflow from our offerings, so we can also be confident that He will purpose what we give to bring joy and hope to those who really need Him. And I'd like to draw your attention to the connection card. If you flip it over to the back side, you're going to see some ways to celebrate what God has done in your life. So if He's renewed your faith today or you're a first-time believer, we'd love to check that for you to check that box. We want to celebrate that with you and pray over you. And also, we have some ways for you to connect with us here at Hope on your spiritual journey and draw closer to Jesus with your Christian family. Yes, Christmas and Christian family. And so that being said, this coming Friday, the Sheelers are going to be having a Christmas open house at their home. That's on the 20th. And if you would like to come to that, you can check that box. And we do have a voters meeting that is going to be happening next Sunday here at campus after service, if you would like to attend that. And we have three Christmas Eve services that are happening on Tuesday. So here at campus, our service will be at 1 o'clock. Our service that we are having that's new on Inlet Beach will be at 2 o'clock, and then our Ed Wallin Beach Access Service will be at 4 p.m., and please make sure you stay up to date on any inclement weather in case we change that location, but those locations are listed right there in your worship folder. At this time, if you want to take your connection card, your offering, and then also if you wanted to donate a poinsettia, you can place those in the offering plates on your respective side. We're going to keep on worshiping.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Noel, 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 born is the King.